Kelvin Davis joins us, MP for Te Tai Tokorau. Tēnā koe, Kelvin.
Morena, Dale. Tēnā koe.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, this week is celebrated the one-year anniversary of the Oranga Tamariki Action Plan. How is it tracking? What are the milestones?
Yeah, look, it's tracking really well, and what it does is it compels other agencies to actually pull their weight in to support young people. So, for example, I heard stories often about social workers standing in the courtroom and the judge saying that the young person there in the courtroom needs somewhere to live, needs some medical attention, and needs, a teacher aide at school. And the social worker would be standing there thinking, well, I'm not a housing provider, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not an educator, but the weight of the expectation was that the Oranga Tamariki social worker would solve all the answers, all the problems. And instead we say, well, no, all the other ministries, such as Kāinga Order, such as Te Whatu Order, and such as the Ministry of Education, need to actually pull their weight and to support those young people. Now, there have been a couple of milestones. For example, we've also done these needs analysis that look into what is missing. One of them was around accommodation for young people who are leaving care, so transitioning into adulthood. There's about 5,000 young people over the next couple of years will be transitioning out of care, but there's only about 150 beds or places for them to stay. So we didn't know that information before, and now that we do know it, they're taking steps to address it. And I have to say that Kāinga Order and HUD have been really good in starting to establish whare, in particular whare for disabled people. There's a number of them that have been established. There's a lot of work going on with identifying the health needs of young people in care. We didn't have that information before, the extent of their needs, but that has been established in a number of areas. So there is actually a lot of work being done to identify the needs, because we just didn't know them before, and now that we do have a better handle on what the needs of young people in care are, in particular the needs of young people transitioning out of care, then we can start making, well, all the agencies can make plans to identify and mitigate their needs.
Thank you. We seem to be hearing what are perhaps government announcements, i.e. harbour bridge crossings, light rail, fast-tracking solar and wind farm development, etc. But are these Labor Party policies? Some saying, where are the Labor Party policies? Are you stacking them up and they're going to roll about in one hit? Or do you think they've been filtered out in ways that are palatable to the public?
Well, all of those announcements are government announcements. They're things that will happen. Funnily enough, our met as a caucus last night via Zoom, and the governing body of the Labor Party, to finalise our manifesto, which is our set of policies. So they will be announced over the next little while. We're very pleased with what we have to offer. Obviously, I can't make any announcements now, but people will be able to look at our policies and could be able to compare them to other political parties.
Now, I bet you've got pearly whites. Because if you've got access to Pūtea and a well-paid job, then you're likely to have decent teeth. But if, on the other hand, you're perhaps out of work, then there's a very big chance that teeth will not be prioritised. There's been a push for universal dental. It's come from your political opponents, /allies, because we don't know how the cards will fall come October 14. What do you make of universal dental? You've seen some of your cousins' teeth up north that could do with some repair. I mean, shouldn't this be a given? And why is it taking the Greens to prioritise it rather than Labor?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to go into what our health policies and dental policies are, because they will be announced at the, when we release our manifesto. But we know that if you have dental issues, then it often is an indicator of other underlying health issues as well. So look, we're very aware, but like I say, I can't go into what our policies are yet, because they will be announced, or, you know, a manifesto will be released very shortly.
Okay. You know that, you know, we have a decent personal relationship. I'm not going to share them wider than our few thousand listeners, or however many.
Tens of thousands.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm humble. But we have some good people listening. That's what I'm getting at there. I don't know about numbers, but certainly I know about the quality of those kaiwhakarongo, and they are awesome. Righto then, mate. In education, the national curriculum's undergoing significant revisions, and the NCEA's also being updated with new literacy and numeracy requirements. More measures are being taken to raise the achievement of Māori students, and the Ministry of Ed is undergoing a significant reorganisation. Do you see education in need of a similar overhaul as health?
Well, like, we've got over 40,000-50,000 teachers, and they are professionals. We have to trust in them and their skills, that they review their practice, and, you know, and individual schools should be reviewing their practice to make sure that if the young people that go to their schools aren't achieving as well as they should, that they recognise that and they change their practice to meet those needs. I'm a bit hesitant, to be honest, to do some big overhauls, because I think that education has been overhauled. There's always constant change in education. I think teachers really need to be given the space to really weave their magic and do what they know is right for young people. I think that a massive overhaul such as has happened in health would just be really too disruptive. It'd be like building an aeroplane as you're trying to fly it, because you've got to teach kids every year but also go through massive changes. I think we just have to be careful with the amount of change that we foister on schools. Instead, we should be you know, going back to the basics of allowing teachers to teach and making sure that they've got the resources and that to be able to do their job.
Let's talk minority housing in the north, please. We get reports of substandard housing, of people being forced to live in inappropriate ACOM. I know that there's been a commitment by the Labor government for Pūtea to fix roads in the north. You've got to have good roads to get to good houses anyway, so it all ties together. What's the state of play housing-wise in your electorate, and how might that be improved going forward? And do you sense it's part of a priority for the government to look at Te Tokorau housing going forward?
Well, it's always a priority, and Pihi, you know, he's been the minister responsible for Māori housing. He's done a great job, and houses are being built, you know, but there is such a need that it's more than just building houses, it's actually helping people, supporting them to be able to afford to build on their own land. We know we've got a lot of land, and these days we've got to be careful on which land we do build on, i.e., you know, the proximity to creeks and the like. There is a housing need. There has been a housing need for a long time, but I do have to say that this government is building more houses than at least since the 1970s. I think it's since the Nash government in the 1950s. Since we've seen the likes of the building program that this government has established, and there is growing housing stock in Te Tokorau. So, you know, we can sort of say, yeah, we've done well, but we've got to do better and continue to support people.
Tēnā koe, just finally, polls and their reliability. How destabilising, or in fact deliberately misleading, do you think polls might be, and some media outlets that seem to have strong political connections revel in the fact that there might be a change in government, and therefore the publication of polls, some with margins of error that need to be factored in, are blasted across the front pages to the point where some might even have the perception that it's a done deal, it's a foregone conclusion, it's a fait accompli. saying that the right are so far ahead they're almost unbeatable. Is it useful to you, the polling system, and what do you think it? What is the impression that it leaves across the general public with this constant run of polls, some of them undertaken with dubious practices, I might say. So, polls and their effect on a perception of which way this election is going. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, when the polls were in Labor's favour, I said, like, we've just got to ignore them and keep going on and keep doing what we know is right. I think that people do look at them and it does influence the way they're thinking politically. The big thing, and I keep saying it, is that Māori just need to realise what is at stake if there is not a left-leaning government. There's been a lot of anxiety around people saying Māori are getting too many rights and we're privileged and all that sort of stuff. You know, people are talking like that because of the work that we've done over the last 6 years to back the interests of Māori, such as Te Aka Whai or the Māori Health Authority, and such as the Māori wards and local body elections. All of those things are up for grabs. They're up at stake. I believe the ACT Party and ACT, well, ACT anyway, is certainly saying that they want to do away with Te Puni Kōkiri, the Ministry of Māori Development, with Te Arawhiti. Everything is up for grabs. I don't know if Māori tourism is safe under a national ACT government. And it's certainly the one that scares me the most is ACT saying that they want to define the principles of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, which for me is, the ACT Party basically rewriting Te Tiriti to suit their needs, and then they'll probably put it to a referendum. Everything is up for grabs, and Māori have to understand just how important it is that we don't have a national ACT government. It is just quite scary in terms of Māori interests.
Well, tēnā koe, thanks for sharing some time with us today, mate. I look forward to talking with you again, Kelvin. All the best for the week ahead on the hustings.
Kia ora, Dale. Thanks a lot.
Tēnā koe.